It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Can you say amen? Amen? Aren't you grateful for everything that God does for us and how He helps us? I was reading a book by Andrew Murray, and what he said in the book was, God gives you what He asks of you. And aren't you thankful for a God that gives us what we have need of? Even the things that we can't do in our own power that He asks us to do, He gives us the strength to do. He makes provision for us. Aren't you grateful for the provision that God gives to us? And I'm here to take up prayer requests. And I tell you, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So any need that you have, you want God to answer, let me tell you, friend, He can do it for you tonight. So if you have a prayer request on my left-hand side, please make it known. Brother Wilder. Yes, sir, Sister Brittany. Yes, ma'am, Sister Robin. All right, Brother Ellis. Yes, sir. Brother James. Yes, sir. Brother Brian, remember Brother Brian in prayer. Anyone else on my left-hand side? Yes, ma'am. Sister Christina. Yes, ma'am. Left-hand side, anyone else? In the middle section? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, sister. Yes, ma'am. Who else in the middle section? On my right-hand side? Sister Brittany. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else in the congregation? On the platform? All right. If you would, let's come and let's find ourselves a place to pray and ask God to move in this service and in these needs. Would you come?
It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate the Lord, his goodness, his mercy. Amen. His grace. Amen. Tonight. Amen. I know the Lord. Amen. Every time we come to the house of the Lord, he's promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, he'll be in the midst of them. And I think about Paul where he said, you know, he's not too far. Amen. If happy, we might reach out. We might touch him. I believe God has got something in the service for each and every one of us right here tonight. And who knows? Amen. Tonight, if you'll just reach out. Amen. If we can just think about, if we can forget about everything and that's happened today or might happen tomorrow. Amen. If we can just reach out. And I believe he's here tonight. I believe, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about God said, I want you to have a convocation. And I think about that convocation. I looked up that word and I think about the fact that it means that God is letting them know, I'm already going to be here. We understand that the males had to go at least three times in the year to go to Jerusalem, go to Israel. And the Bible says, you know, he says, I'm going to be there. I want you to come and meet with me. Amen. What I'm trying to say is tonight, how many, amen, would like to meet with the Lord? I believe he's here. Amen. I believe a lot of us brought him with us tonight. I hope you did. But I believe he's here tonight to reach out. I mean, for you to reach out and touch him and help him. And my, for 3.5 years, Jesus Christ made himself available to everybody around. Everybody just wanted to make a small journey. They could just go and touch Jesus. And, when you go to Capernaum, right there, it's only about maybe 5 miles away from Tiberias where most of the people stay there. When you go to Israel and see Galilee, you're probably going to spend the night in Tiberias. And right there in Tiberias, they have a lot of hot springs and things. And you know, our God told us, he said, now listen, said everybody from all over, you know, that known region would come to those hot springs to get help. And can you imagine as they come here, and this guy, he's a Jewish guy, but he wasn't Orthodox Jew or nothing. He wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ as Messiah, but he did tell us this. He said, can you imagine as they come and try to get help, but they hear the story about a man that's healing the blind, that's healing the lame, and it's just about 5 miles away. If you can just make it about quarter ways around that lake, the Sea of Galilee, amen, you can go and meet the man who's been touching the blind. He's been touching the lame. Amen. No wonder, he said, Jesus came here. Amen, to do that. I'm telling you now, he's closer, I think, than 5 miles away tonight if you can just reach out. Amen, I believe somebody here tonight, I know you got a need. Hallelujah, if you'll just reach out and touch him. If you'll just reach out and feel after him. I told the Bible class just yesterday, we talked about Fanny Crosby. I said, just think about that woman. She was blind and different things, but she wrote that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I believe tonight the Lord is walking by. I don't know, but just a while ago I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to reach out and touch you tonight. That's what I prayed. Lord, I'd like to reach out and touch you. I'd like to reach out and grab a hold of you. Amen. I'd like to reach out and get what I need from the Lord tonight. I'd like to walk out of this place, even though it's a Wednesday night. Amen. And get a touch from the Lord tonight. Amen. And praise his holy name. No worship as we pray. I have to sing.
Who can speak to a cripple and stand right up and walk? Who can cause the deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk?
Oh, yeah.
Who can cool a fevered brow by saying, let it be? Just a little bit of clay can touch him in a way that blinded eyes can see.
I'm telling you, he can.
And I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, for no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Well, I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, for no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Now what can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands with tears running from his eyes?
With his love was gathered all around him, he can smile and say, don't fear. For the one that brought me through this storm will lead me on from here. I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. For no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Well, I'm telling you, he can. And I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. For no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again.
Now what can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands with tears running from his eyes?
With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, don't fear, for the one that brought me through this storm will lead me on from here. I'm telling you he can, and I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in.
Oh,
for no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again.
I'm telling you
he can, and I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in.
Oh,
for no one's ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again.
Glad for that man named Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young Kersey there, won't you testify tonight? Amen. Amen. Adam, how about you testify for the Lord? Amen. No doubt, no doubt. Amen. Where's Brother Chase at? Brother Chase, Sister Beth was telling me what you put in your journal, your prayer request. Do you remember your prayer request in your journal, or do you have more than one prayer request? Do you remember what you put? At least it got to me. Amen. They said you was praying in your journal for a Holy Ghost revival, that you wanted to see a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. So that's my prayer. Amen. How many put that in your journal? Amen. How many would like to see a Holy Ghost revival? Amen. I would. Amen. I know God would want to send us one. Amen. So remember, revival starting. Revival starting Sunday. Look forward to Brother and Sister Webb being with us. Remember your days of prayer and fasting this week. Amen. To get ready for revival. Amen. Brother Luke, testify. We'll get Brother Landon to testify, and then we're going to sing a little chorus. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand with me if you would tonight. There's just something about that name. Amen. This old chorus been going through my heart, my mind all day today. Something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, light the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus,
thank God, thank God.
About,
oh yes, Lord.
That name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Master, Savior, Jesus, light the fragrance after the rain. There's something.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, let's just lift our hearts, our hands toward heaven tonight. Let's worship that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give him honor and glory. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, Lord, there's nothing we'd rather do but praise that name. That name that saved us, name that healed us, name that delivered us, the name that protects us. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. We shout that name tonight, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Encourage somebody's heart tonight. Not alone, not forsaken. Ah, but we have that name above every name, the name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for that name, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just shout that name with me?
Jesus.
Amen. Is that the best we can do? Can we do a little bit better? Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. There's power in that name, isn't there? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mark, musicians. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Amen. One verse of scripture I want to look at tonight. Amen. With the Lord being our helper. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 3. It's a verse that I have spent a lot of time in personally over the last month or 6 weeks or so, and it's been a blessing to me. Found great strength and encouragement here, and just tonight share a few thoughts the Lord has given to me as I've just meditated in this verse. Verses 1 and 2 captivate a lot of the preaching in this passage of Scripture, but tonight my mind is at the third verse. If you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "For consider him." There's just something about that name. Amen. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I really have to unpack this for you tonight, because if the first half of the verse was written with the period after himself, it would seem as if we could understand it a little bit better. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Consider Jesus. Consider the cross. Consider him. But notice the benefit of meditating therein. Lest, or if you don't do this, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. With God's help tonight, I want to preach to you about God's strategy against a tired mind. God's strategy against a tired mind. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. God bless you. Seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. The writer, of course, is appealing to the church to finish the race that is set before them. Starts this chapter off by telling us there is a race that we all must run with patience. The race that is set before us. Verse 2, he inspires us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then verse number 3, he declares to us that there may be those among this contingency that were growing weary in their minds. They were growing weak or faint in their thoughts toward God. And so, as I believe the Apostle Paul picks up his pen, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and pins this challenging letter to the Hebrew church, that they would not revert back into a Judaistic style of worship, but to continue following Christ, that better covenant. And how many realize we have a better covenant? Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is wholly complete. It's efficacious. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Our sins are not just pushed forward, but they're forgiven. Thank God. There is a better covenant than the old covenant. And that's in Jesus himself. I'm glad for that tonight, that we have that covenant. There is a better covenant in Jesus. But the warning is for you and I not to allow anyone or anything to hinder us, to distract us, or to weary us. So if you would, allow me to start at the end of the third verse, work to the middle, and come back to the beginning. Notice if you would tonight, lest ye be wearied. Lest ye be wearied. You ever get tired of something? I know I do. Amen. Lest ye be wearied. Lest ye be exhausted. Lest ye be faint, discouraged, disheartened. But notice where this battle is taking place. This battle is taking place in the mind. This battle is taking place in the mind. Amen. How many realize if we become weary in our minds, there's a whole host of consequences that we may deal with. Emotional turmoil can be a result of being tired, weary in your mind. Stress certainly can be a consequence of being tired in your mind. Physical ailments and physical sickness, spiritual battles, all of those things may be consequential of being tired in your mind. And so the writer gives to us God's strategy against a tired mind, or how do we keep from getting there. And so, first of all, he gives to us the exhaustion, which can be avoided if we follow this strategy. Lest ye be wearied in your minds. I don't know what it was like to pastor in the 1800s. I don't know what it was like to pastor in 1920. I don't know what it was like to pastor in 1950, 1970, 1980. I do know what it was like to pastor in the 1990s and on into the 2000s, and I'll tell you this, it's different than it used to be. I recently read a book about anxiety. Let me just, for the sake of time tonight, I don't want to read the whole book to you. Say amen. But I do want to read page number 6, because the crux of the book is found on this page. The United States is now the most anxious nation in the world, according to all statistical data. The land of stars and stripes has become the country of stress and strife. It's a costly achievement. Stress-related ailments cost the nation $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity, while our usage of sedative drugs such that they keep skyrocketing. Just between 1997 and 2004, Americans more than doubled their spending on anti-anxiety medications like Xanax and Valium, from $900 million to over $2 billion. The Journal of the American Medical Association cited a study that indicates an exponential increase in depression. Catch this. Every generation in the 20th century were 3 times more likely to experience depression than the people of the preceding generation. Doesn't seem like things are getting better. Seems like things are getting worse. Stock market's going up, but so is depression. We've got bigger houses, but we've got more discouragement. So the preceding generation, your generation, I look at my dad's generation, my generation is 3 times more likely to experience depression. The millennials are 3 times more likely than my generation. And what about the generation that's just now coming on? Citizens in other countries ironically enjoy more tranquility. They experience 1/5 the anxiety levels that Americans do, despite having many of life's basic necessities. What's more, quote, when these less anxious developing world citizens immigrate to the United States, they tend to get just as anxious as those of us that are living in this country, which lets us know that it's something about our particular way of life. College kids are feeling it as well in a study that involved more than 200,000 incoming freshmen. Students reported all-time lows in overall mental health and emotional stability. Psychologist Robert Leahy, in a longitudinal study, pointed out, and I quote, "The average child today exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. It's not the world that it was a decade ago. It's not the world it was 30 or 40 years ago. Lest ye be wearied in your mind. Lest ye be discouraged in your mind." If we closed our eyes right now and we just said, if you've battled discouragement in the last 72 hours and we were honest, a lot of people would have their hands in the air. If we talked about depression in the last month, a lot of people would have their hands in the air. And I'm telling you, I don't have the answer except that I find it in God's Word. And God's Word does have the answer. And the battle is what we allow into our minds. And so Paul said, if you follow this strategy, you don't have to be weary in your mind. You don't have to be tired in your mind. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to have all of that anxiety in your mind. You say, it's not me, preacher. Well, then you're the statistical outlier. But for a lot of people that I pastor, the battle is not the devil. The battle is not the job. The battle is not the culture. But it's where we allow our minds to go. It's allow the anxious thoughts that we meditate on and all of that stuff and everybody else's world and all of everybody else's problems and everything, all of everybody else's anxiety, we allow it into our minds and we spend all day long thinking about everything except that which we should be thinking about, which is God's Word. And Paul said, consider Him. Concentrate on Him. Just settle down right there and let your mind focus on the Son of God. God. Amen. Notice with me, secondly, if you notice the rejection which was endured. Come with me for a second, and here's what Paul wants us thinking about. He said, consider Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Allow your mind for a little while just to focus on the Son of God. Concentrate upon the fact that it was hostility versus humility, that Jesus Christ was the greatest man who ever lived, that he was the holiest man, the most benevolent man, the most passionate man, the most pure man that ever lived, and they hated him. They ridiculed him. They ostracized him. They rebuked him. They crucified him. And beloved church, tonight we are the children of God, and Jesus said they're going to hate you, not because they just hate, but they hate you because they hated me. And the more that we're like Jesus, we're going to be hated of this world. And so, my friends, tonight, we cannot spend our time worrying about how to get along in a world that crucified the Prince of Glory. It is not our objective. It is not our goal in life to get along and go along with the world that is perverted, and a world that is immoral, and a world that hates Jesus. But oh, tonight, come with me and look at that Calvary's tree, that Jesus Christ bled and died, that Jesus Christ paid the price, that we could be set free, that our minds could have peace. I can preach tonight, amen, because I feel like this is a battle that I win sometimes, because my mind wants to race. My mind wants to go in 1,000 different directions. I want to worry about all of your problems. I want to worry about your children and your grandchildren, every marriage in the church, and the money, and the school, and the college, and I get all worried, and I get all perplexed, and there's a lot to think about. There's nothing wrong with planning and finding God's will, but at the end of the day, it is not God's plan. It is not God's desire that we pop Annex and walk the floors and act like we can solve the problem anyway. We cannot solve the problem. It is not within ourselves. We don't have the ability. We don't have the strength. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night, but I gotta tell you, I feel like preaching. Amen. We don't have the answer within ourselves. Amen. No good thing dwelleth within us. But when we got saved, I said, when we got saved, Jesus broke the chains of sin, and he set us free in spirit, in soul, and in body. Amen. I believe tonight that your emotions are set free by the power of God. I believe your mind is set free by the power of God. I don't believe that we can come in here and worship Jesus and the devil have control of our mind and the devil have run roughshod over our emotions. I say the devil is a liar. I say God be true and let every man be a liar. When I got saved, I put my trust in Jesus. Amen. Oh, God, help me preach tonight. Amen. Notice the rejection which was endured. Notice the contradiction that Jesus had against himself. Amen. I know we don't want to struggle at times. And I know we want every generation to have it a little bit easier than our generation. But I really believe that's produced an entitled society in this hour that can't take anything, that can't struggle through anything, that stays offended at everything, that gets their feelings hurt at everything. Amen. Where's my World War II generation? Amen. That they went through Hoover days. They went through the wars that just seemed like crumbled the world. But yet they still stayed true and still stayed faithful.
But now, if our songs aren't just right, and we don't get our favorite parking spot, and God help anybody take our pew, it's like we just snap. Everybody's so tense, and that is not God's will. I said that's not God's plan. God wants us with joy, and it's joy unspeakable. God wants us to have peace, and peace that is unspeakable, and peace that is past all understanding. Amen. God does not want you stressed out. God does not want you on the verge of a nervous breakdown. God does not want you with anxiety in your life. He said, give it to me and I'll carry it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And something is wrong that if the church is just as anxious as the world. I understand why the world gets anxious. I understand why they get on Facebook and go crazy. But I don't understand why the church gets on Facebook and runs their mouth. I don't understand that. Amen. I got a God I can go to. I'll call him up. I said, I'll call him up. He said, cast your cares. I've got somebody by the name of Jesus. I said, oh, hallelujah. I said, think about what he went through. Think about what he went through to get you in that church pew tonight. The contradiction of sinners against himself. Against himself. And so Paul said, here's the strategy. Here's the strategy. It is consider. Consider him. Consider him. If you want to evade the exhaustion and you want to think about this rejection which is endured that sets us free, it is all found in those first three words of this verse. It is the integral part. And this verse hinges upon that action, and it is what you concentrate upon. It is what you consider. It is where do you spend your time and your energy and your mind. Consider. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on him. Concentrate is defined as the exclusive attention to one object, the ability to focus on a single object. Concentrate on him. Concentrate on him. Get your mind off your trouble. Get your mind off your problem. And concentrate on him. That's not a feel-good philosophy. It's a strategy. I said it's a strategy. When I get my mind on him, I feel peace. I feel joy. I feel hope. I feel power. When I concentrate on him, I feel the awesome presence of God. Hallelujah. Focus on him. Focus on him. Concentration comes from an old English word which is defined as a common middle. That old English word is concentric, and it means a common middle. A common middle. To concentrate on something is to have the same thing in the middle. Paul said Jesus has to be in the middle. That's what he, oh hallelujah, every song service, he needs to be in the middle. Every special, he needs to be in the middle. Every sermon, he needs to be in the middle. Every church service, he needs to be in the middle. When's the last time he was the middle of your mind? When's the last time he was the source of everything? When's the last time that you got so focused on him? You couldn't think about your problem. You couldn't think about your sorrow. You couldn't think you'd been done wrong. I got my mind on Jesus. I said there's something. There's something. There is something about that name. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus wants in the middle. Most of our religion, we like to add Jesus a little bit to the end. He's not playing for the periphery of your life. If he's not the middle, you're not where he wants you to be. When they put him on the cross, they put him in the middle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he gave the promise where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the middle. I'm in the midst of them. I'm in the midst of them. I'm in the midst of them. Wouldn't you love tonight for Jesus just to come in here and get in the middle of everything? Get in the middle of your sorrow. Oh, hallelujah. Get in the middle of your depression. Oh, get in the middle of your discouragement. I got to be careful right here. After 20 years of observation, I got to be frank honest with you. There are some folks that just like crutches. They're not happy unless they're complaining. Unless they're complaining, they're not happy. They've always got to have somebody or something to be chewing on. That's just their nature. That is just who they are. And you know who they despise? They always talk about other people that are always negative and talking about things. I'm thinking, sweetheart, amen, help me, Jesus. I'm trying to be sweet on a Wednesday night. I really am. You could put them in a mansion. They'd complain about something. Amen, can I tell you? If it was not for Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus, amen, none of us would be here tonight. May I remind you, if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd be on our way to hell. If it wasn't for Jesus, we might already be in hell. But look at us right now. I said we're saved. I said we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. I said we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to praise Him. I said somebody ought to magnify, somebody ought to glorify that name Jesus. Hallelujah. And some people just don't want Jesus in the middle of the mess, because you can't have Jesus and have all that trouble. You can't have Jesus and have all that anxiety, because when you get your mind on Him, woo, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, now if we talk about, I could come up here and I could paint a sad story. Every one of us could. We could talk about how we've been done wrong. We could talk about the scars. We could talk about how we've been lied against. We could talk about all of that. I could tell you what my calendar looks like. I could tell you about all the things. We could all paint a sad story if we wanted to. But oh, I can't have my mind all like that and have Jesus too. Because when He comes in, He settles everything down. Oh, glory to God. I said, that's why I've been anchored to this verse. I said, that's why I've been anchored to this verse. And just like He did in John 20, when they were gathered together for fear of the Jews, and they locked the door, and they said, we don't want anybody in. Jesus said, a locked door's not going to keep me out. And He marched right in. And your Bible said in John chapter number 20 that Jesus was standing. Oh, where was He at? I said, where was He at? Jesus was standing in the midst of them. I said, He wants in the middle. Why don't you let Him in the middle right now? Why don't you concentrate? Why don't you concentrate? Get your mind on Jesus. I said, He's been good to you. I said, He's been good. Hadn't He been good? I said, hadn't He been good? I said, He's been good all the time. He's never done me anything but good. Hallelujah. Anybody in this building a witness to me right now? God's been good. I said, God's been good all the time. God's been good. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Will you let Him in right now to the middle? Concentrate. I know you might, you say, well, I got ADHD. Well, you know, that doesn't mean you have a lack of attention. Sometimes that means you have the ability to be hyper-focused, that you can't think about anything but that. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. We always look at it as a negative, but sometimes it's a positive. A lot of the world's greatest salesmen, a lot of people that have created and done amazing things were people that struggled with ADHD as kids. And it wasn't a lack of focus. It was the ability to be hyper-focused. And they drove themselves almost into a point of a breakdown because of the ability to focus. Amen. I'm not saying you and I, amen, should do anything unhealthy. But oh, wouldn't you be love to be so focused? Wouldn't you love to be so focused like Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Bible said they saw no man save Jesus only. Amen. God put blinders on me. I'm tired of living in a wicked world. I'm tired of seeing all the bad stuff. I want to see Jesus. I said he's altogether lovely. I said he's glorious. He's powerful. Amen. Concentrate tonight. That's what happened in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. There were 120, but oh, they got their minds in one place, in one accord. They concentrated, and there in Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. If we can concentrate, if we can get our minds on Jesus, you. But if half of you thinking about yesterday, half of you thinking about tomorrow, anybody got a testimony? You telling me we concentrating? When we got people that come to church that have all one with another? You don't know what they said about me. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know. You don't know. Well, you're right. You don't know what they did to me either. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. I didn't die on a cross. They didn't put me on the cross. They put Jesus on the cross. I said they crucified him. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can be crucified and put in a borrowed tomb and raised on Easter morning and love the unlovable, I can take it. I said I can take it. I can take it. Amen. Somebody tonight, you need to leave this building saying, I can take it. I can take it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. God's word be true. Let me ask you tonight, how much time per day are you concentrating on him? Do you think about him driving down the road? Do you think about him when you wake up in the morning? Do you think about him when you go to sleep at night? Do you have to get along with him on the job and just talk to him a little bit and say, oh, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother? I said there is something about that name. Amen. Help me close this out, church. Amen. Don't get your mind off Jesus. James and John got their mind off Jesus, and they got it on positions. Amen. Peter got his mind, all eyes off Jesus, and he got him on his problems. Amen. Judas got his eyes off Jesus, and he got him on the purse. Amen. But I got my eyes tonight on Jesus. I said he's glorious. I said he's powerful. I said he's wonderful. I said he's my Savior. I say he's my Redeemer. I say he's my joy. I say he's my hope. Anybody tonight know who I'm talking about? There's something. I said there's something about that name Jesus. I got saved calling on that name. I got healed calling on that name. I got the Holy Ghost calling on that name. I said, shout that name Jesus. Shout that name Jesus. Oh, shout that name Jesus. Oh, let's worship him, church. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yay. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, consider him. Consider him. Consider him. Glory, glory, glory. Hebrews 11 was a list of great men, but none of them compared to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. There is a better covenant. Hallelujah. Glory. Noah was a great man. He prepared an ark and he saved his family. But Jesus was far greater. He prepared an ark and he saved the world. Hallelujah. Abraham was a great man. He led his family out looking for a city, amen, whose builder and maker was God. Amen. Abraham was the father of the faithful. But the God I serve tonight was the God that made the city. I said the God that made that city that Abraham was looking for. Oh, glory to God. Abel was a great man. And he gave a sacrifice and the blood still speaks. But oh, can I tell you, Jesus and his blood is far greater. For one ruby red blood, drop of that blood can wash away all the sins. Oh, hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilt and stain. Jesus. Woo! That man Jesus. So excuse me, I just don't get that excited about Fox News. I know you do, but I don't. Feel that cold air blow in? Feel that cold air blow in? I'm not as excited about that tax cut as I am Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Whatever the news is tomorrow, I said, it does not matter. I said, he's already got it planned. He's already got it in control. Glory to God. I'm not listening for the sound of bad news. I'm listening for the sound of a trumpet. I'm headed out of this world. Glory. So instead of getting around somebody that empowers your negativity, woo, if you know you battle discouragement, if you know you're susceptible to depression, if you know you have a proclivity to get in emotional despair when you hear bad news, stay away. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Consider him. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord. Keep your mind. When you see them coming, you already know they're the church gossip. Stay away from them. Oh, God created caller ID. I know God did it. God had to do it. It's an awesome thing. Let it go to voicemail. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm tired of watching folks live in the Mardi Gras, leave beat down when they've got the Prince of Glory living in their life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Yes. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. You know who I'm talking to. You dread to see them coming. You know you do. Don't look at them right now. They're here tonight. Don't look at them. You know you hate to see their number pop up. Yeah. And you're afraid to unfriend them because they go to the same church. Hey, hey, hey. Glory, glory, glory. If I had to worry about all that's in your mind, No wonder some of you don't have any praise for the Lord. No wonder some of you haven't called anybody to encourage anybody lately. Man, you're on the doorstep of a nervous breakdown. You're on the doorstep of stealing somebody's Xanax for yourself, because you've got your problems and everybody else's problems exponentially, and the whole world's broken down like that. But I'm telling you, amen, I'm telling you, God gave us the strategy. Amen, I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to show you, you can have joy tomorrow. You can have joy on Friday. Amen, you can have joy all day Saturday. You say, preacher, I'm doing fine. Then why you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through. I can't handle anymore. That lets me know you got your mind in the wrong place. That lets me know you're already feeding on something else. Amen. Oh, but when you get your mind on Jesus, when I think about that cross, when I think they done him wrong, when I think he was lied on, when I think he was criticized and forsaken by everybody, even his heavenly Father turned his back and he died a lonely death on Calvary. I said he died alone. Didn't he die? I said, didn't he die? I said, he died. And they put him in that tomb. But oh, I got hope tonight. I got joy. I got praise. I got peace. Oh, you know why? When he got up with all power. He got up. And you and I are the church of the living God tonight. And here's my problem with all of it. You are God's representative to this world. You are God's representative. So when you're a gossip, when you're discouraged, when you're beat down, when you look just like the world and think just like the world, it hurts him. It hurts him. It's not me, but it's him. Oh, I want to lift him up. I want to magnify. I want to exalt the Son of God. Hallelujah. Anybody glad for Jesus? Anybody glad for Jesus? Anybody feel like waving a hand toward Jesus? Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Glory, glory, glory.
Jesus.
Yay.
Jesus, give the honor, it's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus, all in Jesus. Give him the praise.
Hey.
Well, it's Jesus.
Give him the honor.
Jesus.
Give him the praise.
Jesus.
All in Jesus.
Well, give him the glory. It's all in Jesus.
All in Jesus. Yay. Glory.
Well, I called on the Lord in the valley of sin. He reached way down and he took me. Guides my steps and he holds my hand. Well, I run all the way. Promised land is Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Give him the praise.
Well, all in Jesus, my
sweet Jesus, all in Jesus,
well, give him the praise.
I said it's Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus. Well, it's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus,
hey,
all in Jesus.
I feel something turning tonight. Let's sing it to the Lord.
Well, it's Jesus.
Give him the honor.
Jesus.
Give him the praise.
Jesus.
Give him the glory.
Well, it's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus, all in Jesus. In the praise. Well, the lame and laid at the temple one day. Peter and John went up to pray. The lame and said as he walked away, all in Jesus, give the praise. Jesus.
Give him the honor.
Jesus.
Give him the praise.
Well, Jesus.
Give the glory.
It's all in Jesus.
My sweet Jesus. All in Jesus.
Give him the praise.
Give the glory,
it's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus,
all in Jesus, give him the praise.
Jesus,
give him the honor.
Jesus,
give him the praise.
Jesus,
give him the glory,
it's all in Jesus,
my sweet Jesus,
well,
all in Jesus, give him the praise.
How about just the young folks singing?
Jesus,
give him the honor.
Jesus,
give him the praise.
Jesus,
give him the glory,
it's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus.
How about